Mama-Coaching für die Ohren und fürs Herz Spezial. Ein Interview mit Naomi Aldort. Die Autorin von der Erziehung zur Einfühlung spricht über bedingungslose Liebe und innige Verbundenheit. Sie setzt sich dafür ein, dass unsere Kinder ihr Bestes geben können. Nicht aus Angst oder auf der Suche nach Bestätigung, sondern aus eigenem freien Willen. Naomi Aldort bringt friedvolle Klarheit in schwierige Situationen und begleitet Eltern von Anfang an mit ihren Coachings, Büchern und Videos.
Hello Naomi, thank you for being here. I start with my first question now. How would you describe what is your approach to parenting?
Well, I try to not have an approach or a fixed idea other than to be rooted in love and in respect of life. A human being is born, it's not yours. It's not even somebody coming from you, it's coming through you and has its own life. And with that kind of respect, that's the basis of the approach. There can be lots of ways of parenting within that. Your most consistent factor is love and respect to let the person be rooted in themselves, so that the child grows up to be themselves. So sometimes I call it authentic parenting. Sometimes people relate me to the movement of attachment parenting. A lot of the parents who follow what I teach, you know, some of them send their children to very progressive and free kind of school. Some of them homeschool or unschool. And some also do regular, you know, schools, depending on what they can do, and they can still, in terms of their attitude with the child, be rooted in that authenticity and that respect of life. It's, you know, the child is their own person from day one. Just because he can't tell us about it from the beginning doesn't mean he isn't totally their own person. So that's really the root of my attitude. Not everything in, you know, I don't like to be put into a slot of what type of parenting I teach with existing movements, because I find each one of them, you know, doesn't necessarily fit for everybody. And also, even attachment parenting, some of the leaders themselves are not quite teaching what I teach, because I also include ideas of how to raise a powerful child, not just one as well attached. The word attached, at least in English, has some negative connotations. So I like to talk of being healthfully bonded, but not dependent or codependent. A lot of very people who are very strong on attachment parenting often come to me for advice, and what we need to do is undo some of the, what they created is a level of neediness and dependency that's actually not necessary. We can still be healthfully bonded, but I put the stress on also having the child grow to be themselves rather than be so loyal to that bond, which for a lot of them that becomes a handicap. So it's not just a balance, it's some other things in parenting that are needed.
Okay, thank you. What is your mission, and how did it come that you devoted yourself authentic parenting?
Well, my mission, I always say, is basically to bring peace on earth.
Oh, how wonderful.
And because the next generation will run this world, the current generation is not doing a good job. We can lose this planet and lose humanity at the way we go, and that means that we need to raise the next generation who will run the world into totally different people than we were so far. Because so far we're warmongers, whether we physically, personally go into war, which you and I don't, or not, we have war inside. We are fighting reality, we're fighting the child, we're shaping the child against his will, we're making him do this and that, we're telling him, stop, don't do this, do this, especially in schools. But for a lot of parents, that's the paradigm we grow up with. And that's what we need to break through in order to raise human beings who don't have an inner war, no outer war. That's really the only hope for peace on earth, is raising people who are in peace with themselves.
Okay, thank you. Peaceful words. My daughters are teaching me so much every single day. what would you like to know before becoming a mom? Mm-hmm. What would you differently do today with all the knowledge you got from experience?
That's a wonderful question. My children are all grown up, so you can ask them.
Okay. If I have the chance, I will do it.
Yeah. Well, they probably, you wouldn't, but you know, they teach me so much, because childhood is this 18 years or 20 years or whatever of experiment. You know, you raise the child and then they're grown up, or they start when they're a teenager, and they tell you how the run was, you know, how was the ride of being a child. And then they tell you all these things and you go like, what? When did that happen? Oh, I didn't know I did that. Oh, you needed this. I never noticed. You know, and it, me too. It's I'm not a perfect parent. It's so enlivening to learn so much. One of my kids once told me a bunch of criticism about what I did. And so he goes on and on, like a day of criticism. And then I say to him, he also tells me a lot about his friends. And they come from mainstream homes for the most part. And they don't criticize their parents very much. They're very loyal, you know. And I said to him at some point, you know, we know so many people I know through my work and you and your friends who have a lot less complaints, considering how you were raised. It's amazing you have so many complaints. And he said, well, you raised us to be freely self-expressive and to feel comfortable telling you whatever we feel, yeah, including criticism. I said, so for today, that's a compliment? And he said, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think if I did it again, I would not do the same. I've learned a lot of things, not so much the kind of things that I teach as principle of being, but some of the details and the how-tos, which I think for every person, if they did it second time, they would do it differently. It more has to do with the personality, for where we're stuck, which is why I would say that what I would do different is listen more to the title of my book, second part, Raising Ourselves. Mm-hmm. I would do a lot more of that, a lot more work on myself, of where are those edges where I have reactions rather than responses, where I was too critical or controlling or perfectionist or whatever things that my sons are telling me now that created anxieties on their end, or, you know, didn't help in the direction that I wanted to help, where I wasn't conscious or where I wasn't aware of what was going on. But at the same time, it's very clear that even if I did it again now, I would improve a lot of things, and I'm still me, and there would be other things that I would miss because we're human beings. And I always say to parents, don't strive for that perfection. Your parents were perfect. You aren't. We haven't met yet a human being who doesn't have issues to work on and emotional problems. There is no such perfect, happy, everything perfect person. We're all messed up. And that is a good thing, because yeah, that's the what I call in English, grist for the mill. You know, the grain that you put in the mill to grind. You need material to use to work on your own self-realization. If you have nothing, what would you work on? And if you were so perfect and you're living in the world of imperfect people, how would you deal with them?
No way.
So, yeah, exactly. So, so I would do a lot of things differently, and it wouldn't guarantee that I wouldn't have some other areas that I would miss. In fact, it's guaranteed that I would miss. But yes, I would do a lot of things differently.
You have thousands of clients. How do they deal with, I call it, influences from outside? They are not matching with this kind of attitude and your philosophy.
That's really difficult, and there's no one answer. And I have different parents doing different things, and when I guide them, I guide differently for each family depending on their lifestyle, where they are, what's available. So some people, you know, really try to stay with their own groups of parents. If the kids don't go to school and they're homeschooling, it's a little easier to isolate from influences and to choose who your friends are. But a lot of parents cannot do that, and the children go to school. And then I always stress how important are the what you expose in the house, and actually to expose to more, not less, not to be afraid. That may be one of my things I would have done differently.
Okay.
There is something about protecting so hard from influences that actually teaches the child to be afraid, as if he can't handle the influences and stay rooted in himself. And if instead we just have actually a wider experience of community of other people, of variety of people, then the child sees that there's this way and this way and this way and this way and this way. And then we can talk about at home about the different values and what it means and what it does. And he has a sense of freedom, like, oh, there are all these hundreds of ways to be and to live and to relate. What do I want? Who am I? And if we're raising them in a way that they're connected with themselves and peaceful inside, I don't see why they would choose something that isn't really coming from love and care and responsibility. So that in principle, what I would do. Some parents send their children to alternative schools like the Democratic School, and that's a community. Mm-hmm. It's not without bad influences. Children go to Democratic School and eat junk and do video games and watch TV and sit on gadgets, and there are all the families. So even there, what I'm saying is don't limit the company, but expose and discuss. Expose and be connected, like, what do we think about that?
Okay.
Rather than build loyalties, because we don't need to be loyal even to a family. Children initially are very loyal to their families, but I actually didn't raise my children with family loyalty or religion loyalty or group loyalty or national loyalty, because again, back to peace on earth, we need to raise children whose identity is humanity. Who are you, Naomi? I'm a person on planet Earth. You know, instead of identifying man, woman, transgender, black, white, Swiss, Austrian, American, human being on planet Earth, those other factors are not a factor. That's how we move forward.
What would be some core ideas for raising children to bring it to self-confidence, to bring it to be happy people?
Yes. Well, we can't guarantee their happiness, but...
No, not really happy.
Yes.
It's a big word, but you know.
Yes. I think being fulfilled, it could be a goal. I would say the main goal that I tell parents in workshop and give them tools for is to protect the child's connection to themselves. So anytime we tell a child to listen outside of themselves instead of inside, especially in a generation where we're so much in the brain, ideas and learning and knowledge, that we're missing the most important part, and that's the inside, you know, fulfilling who I actually am. So, and that starts all the way in babyhood. I mean, do I breastfeed when the baby wants or when I think? Do I sleep with them, or do I force them to sleep in another room by age 5, saying that they have to be independent? That's a very good example, by the way, because people actually say that. Relatives say to a lot of clients of mine, will tell me, well, my mother-in-law says, you know, they won't be independent. But the funny thing is that when a child is told to sleep in their own room, their own bed at age 4 or 5, they're not learning to be independent, they're learning to be dependent. They're losing their independence because they're told, don't listen to yourself. Like if they want to sleep with their parents, you know, do what somebody else tells you to do. Listen outside, don't listen inside. So I would say one of the core things that I tell parents is to constantly protect the child autonomy, who they are, and being connected to themselves. When they want to sleep with the parents, and the parents sleep with them, they're learning, I can trust me. I know where I should sleep. This is right in here. I don't need to fall for peer pressure when I'm a teenager. I'm not in danger of having somebody, you know, touch me wrong way, you know, sexually at older age and convince me that I should do what they tell me to do. And that starts as an example, kiss grandma goodbye, and they don't want the kiss.
Yep.
And I always tell them the other way around. You don't have to kiss grandma goodbye. You do what you want. And if grandma tell, come kiss me goodbye, I remind the child, you don't have to, only if you want. And I would say to the grandma, only if they want. It's their business, it's their body. So you have to, from the beginning, not fall for all these seductions to look good for yourself, to do the right thing by what other people think. So I work in the seminars a lot on this trend we have for seeking approval for the parent, the raising ourselves, in order for this core idea of raising a self-reliant, self-rooted human being, because that's what confidence is. And when they're confident and rooted in themselves, then happiness, fulfillment, success, responsibility, love, all these things are natural outcome of being really rooted in oneself.
Okay, and this connects to what you said in the beginning, that it starts really in the first days.
Yes.
Of having the baby here. And
yeah, putting them to sleep because you think they're tired, you know, or putting them to the breast because you think that they should not cry anymore. You know, dealing with their emotions in a way that doesn't permit them to be themselves. So yeah, it's from the beginning. And definitely in the learning process, you know, they should learn and accomplish and discover what they're moved to. We have to expose them, but they should do what comes from inside.
Thank you. Finally, my last question for you, really for you, what are you most grateful for?
That's a question that the only answer I can see is I'm grateful right now for being able to breathe, for being alive, for being here with you.
Thank you.
Because that's what's happening in this moment.
Okay, thank you, Naomi. It was really a great honor for me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.